values, and principles. That's our game. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
All right, back we are, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Now, let me set the table in 45 seconds and then introduce you to a wonderful guest who's here in our studio. There was an attempt to collect signatures for a ballot measure that would establish a $15 an hour now minimum wage. The mayor has submitted through his income inequality panel an alternative to the city council. They've approved it. He signed it into law. So now there's no more momentum for the $15 an hour now initiative, and it looks like it's not going to go on the ballot. However, Seattle voters still may have the chance to vote on the mayor's proposal because Forward Seattle, a group of small business owners, wants to put the mayor's $15 an hour minimum wage law to a referendum. Do I have that right, Angela?
Yes, you do.
Angela Cuff is a baker. They own a small bakery in the Seattle area, and she is one of the businesses that is pushing for this referendum. You're gathering signatures so that people can have a voice and a vote on whether what the mayor and the city council did ought to be the law of the land within the Seattle city limits.
Absolutely. What we've done is we actually started issuing petitions over the weekend to pursue a referendum, which just brings the mayor's ordinance, as you mentioned, to a vote of the people. And our main goal is to qualify that referendum. We need 16,510 signatures
by
the end of this month. So it's a mad dash to get there.
2 weeks.
Yeah, we have paid petition signature gatherers out there with our petitions. They all are marked with Forward Seattle very clearly. And as you mentioned, it's just simply to bring the mayor's ordinance as written to a vote of the people. And then our hope is over the next few months to be able to educate the public as to what this ordinance actually means to them and how much it's going to cost over the next 10 years.
All right. Now, tactically speaking, if you make the ballot, people will say, well, gee, it's this or nothing. I guess I'd rather do something than nothing. What's the rebuttal?
The rebuttal is, yes, we would all rather do something than nothing. But the only thing that we have on the table is the mayor's ordinance because all other options have been pulled off of the table. Some people that are paying attention to this process may have also known that on June 5th, Forward Seattle filed a charter amendment. And up until this point, it had been understood that the charter amendments could be pursued. It was discovered within hours of our filing our charter amendment that the charter amendment process was not available for the people to present a charter amendment other than in odd years. It's a
right.
strange
okay.
rule that exists within the state government. So we had to kind of regroup and figure out, okay, well, we were really trying to originally push for a smaller increase.
For an alternative.
Yeah, for an alternative that could be also pursued for a vote of the people. But ultimately what we ended up with was saying, okay, what are our options now? It was too late for an initiative. We ran out of time. So we said, okay, the only thing that we feel like we really have available to us at this point is to say, hey, if the public is really for this ordinance as it's written, then let's put it for a vote. We hope that we can educate people to, you know, influence them to not do that. We want them to vote no because we need to really take another look at this.
So it's no, let's do this right. Let's
yes.
sit back, take it. Now, let's talk about your business. Your bakery's been around how many years?
We're going on 7 years in Fremont. I think 10 years total.
Okay, 7 to 10 years. You've been around. You've got an identity. How many employees do you have?
So we actually have 3 different locations. We've got a location in Redmond, and then we have 2 in Fremont. We have a commercial kitchen in addition to our retail bakery.
Okay.
We have 30 employees.
30 employees. How many of them in Seattle?
About 2/3 of those.
How much do you pay entry-level workers?
Our entry-level pay is $10 an hour.
Okay, it's above the minimum wage,
yes.
which is America's highest.
Yes.
And $10 an hour, are there any benefits that go that accompany that, or does that vest with time?
benefits like with regard to things like medical and things like
health,
that. We don't have any
401k.
Health benefits. Yeah. We don't have any benefits like that.
Half price on donuts.
We absolutely have half price. So we do. The benefits that we give are a great working environment. I would say that the people who work for us are very happy to be there. They also do get discounts on food, free coffee all day long, things like that that are more intrinsic to the nature of the business.
Okay.
You know, we give them as much benefit as we can in those
ways. So let me ask you, you know, flat out, you've obviously run the numbers. Because that's what you have to do in your line of work. What would the mayor's $15 eventually law, what would it do to your bakery in the first year?
Okay, so to illustrate, mm-hmm. we took a look at last year's hours. So, for example, the we had 35,000 labor hours in 2013.
Okay.
So for every dollar that goes up, you've got obviously $35,000. But in addition to that, it's the tax cost as well that we have to pay on top of each dollar paid.
Good point.
So for us, we figured for every dollar paid of an increase, we would also go up about $40,000. And that's in hard labor costs. And the thing that we want to start educating people about is that it's not just a dollar for dollar increase. It's the fact that that's just to break even to where we are at with current labor. So that doesn't take into account any sort of expansion or growth opportunities.
Just holding steady.
That's just holding steady with the people you have and hoping that you're able to both get more out of the same person for what they're doing, but also that by raising your prices and things like that, that your sales don't drop on the top end.
So, Angela, cutting to the chase, your labor costs go up what percent?
I'm going to roughly quote this because I haven't looked at it in the last few weeks. Ballpark, when we had, when I looked at the proposal that we had originally put out for our charter amendment, which was $12.50, if we went from where we are to $12.50, I believe the increase was 18%. But if we went from where we are to 15, it was going to be an increase of just under 40%.
Just under 40% increase in labor costs.
Yes.
Is that in year one or eventually?
When I was looking at it, we were just looking at it as if we had to go from 0 to 60. So if we went from where we are to 1250 or where we are to 15.
Okay. How would you deal with this? Would you cut hours? Would you lay off? Would you raise prices? A combination of the three?
You have to do a combination because what you can control are your costs. What you can't control are the people walking through the front door. So you have to try to mitigate an increase like this in multiple ways in order to be careful about it. So the one thing that we can control is the labor costs. So we'd have to look at how many hours are we open? How many people do we have working for us? Because that's what we can immediately change.
What do you say to the other side's argument? No. This is good for these businesses because more people are going to have more money and they're going to want to buy more donuts and pastries. This is going to be good for Angela and her bakeries.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some of those questions directed to me, and one of the arguments given to me is, you know, kind of shame on you for thinking of cutting wages and things like that. Why wouldn't you just simply increase your prices? My answer to that is because I can't control who comes in the front door, and because people are ultimately price sensitive at a certain point, there is going to be a point where the cost of my muffin is too expensive.
Can you stick around for just a couple more minutes, Angela? I would appreciate that. Angela Cuff is with us here at Talk Radio 570 KVI talking about what the mayor's $15 an hour eventually minimum wage would do to her company and why she's joining the fight to repeal it.
If you like John Carlson, you'll love Glenn Beck this morning at 9 on Talk Radio 570 KBI.
And back we are on the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KBI. Yours truly, John Carlson, joined by Senior Chief Executive Producer Phil J. Vandenbort III, Social Media Maven Brittany, and in our studios, Angela Cuff, who owns her own small bakery, which has now become three businesses. You've got a bakery in Redmond, and you've got a commercial kitchen operation
as well. Commercial kitchen in Fremont, along with another bakery in Fremont.
Now, you were bashful about mentioning the name of your bakery because I'm guessing you guys are concerned about reprisals. Is the other side playing nasty?
Yeah. One of the things that's been going on during this entire process is that small businesses that have spoken out have essentially been attacked by the opposition to this. You know, the people who are the Vote 15 Now movement, the socialist alternative, and, you know, people who have an opinion that differs from ours. And it's been an interesting process because...
But you're not attacking them.
No.
You're not going after them in personal terms.
No, we're not.
What are they doing to you guys?
You know, it can be anywhere from Twitter posts that talk about us as horrible people or horrible employers, posts to our Facebook page. I actually responded to one individual who was heckling my employees as they were posting because, you know, what I think has been forgotten in this process is that while we may be the employers, we have employees who take pride in their work and they enjoy where they work and they want to be
contributing. And they see this issue.
Yeah, and they see this issue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've also been very transparent with our employees the entire time we've had the business about exactly where we stand financially and what we're able to do and what we hope to get the business to the point of being able to do. So
you're transparent with your employees. They know you're telling the truth.
We are absolutely transparent. They know exactly what our financials look like. They know how much money we have, quote, made, whether or not we've been paid it, mm-hmm. and what our plans are for the future in order to make that business something that they can count on moving forward.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Angela. If you run up against anything that smacks of harassment or, you know, a wildcat boycott or an intimidation campaign, I want you to let me know. I want you to tell me because I'll make sure you have customers. I'm going to honor your request not to mention the name of your bakery, but if anyone tries to hurt your bakery because they disagree with your political point of view and you're trying to give Seattle voters a voice in a vote, you tell me and I'll make sure you've got customers. I'll get customers around the block. There are people listening to us right now who will drive in from Bellingham to buy a pastry at your bakery in Fremont just to make a point, just to send a message. I mean, that's how our listeners feel about people who try and intimidate and silence others from participating in the political process. Okay, there's a larger principle at stake. So you let me know, okay?
Absolutely. And that's how we feel about this, too. The other reason why we've sort of been moving away from the individual businesses that we own is that both Katrina and I, and Katrina was unable to join us today, she's the co-chair on Forward Seattle, we believe that this is really something that needs to be addressed by the greater community. And the greater community needs to be accountable for the outcome, whatever it is. So by bringing this to a vote, we hope that people will really understand exactly what we're talking about here, that we are talking about a minimum wage, which is the minimum obligated wage that I have to pay you walking in the door, regardless of whether or not you just came out of high school, have any job skills at all, and regardless of the position. And
you've been, you started your own business not long after you graduated from college, right?
Yes. My first business was about a year after I got out of college. I got restless in my office job, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and open up a cafe in Pike Place Market. Why not? And a friend of mine from college, she and I did it, and we had it for about 4 years, and it did okay. Mm-hmm. I think we're lucky to have gotten out of it without losing our shirt, because
you probably learned all about the ins and outs of business that way.
We learned very firsthand exactly what it was like. You know, I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Went in, opened the place.
I call that sleeping in.
I'm sure you do, yes. You know, we'd start our days at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd get out of there about noon, and then I'd go do my full-time job to be able to pay myself. Because people don't understand is just because you open a business, you can't pay yourself.
You've got it. It being what it is that marks an entrepreneur, you know, that restless spark. I've got to start something. I've got to get a product out to people that I know that they will like, that I can make a living providing for, or a service, or what have you. So good for you. And I should point out that Angela pays more than the minimum wage, which is America's highest minimum wage, to entry-level employees. And yet she is fighting back against what the mayor is doing. The tactic is they are trying to qualify a referendum for the ballot that will basically repeal what the mayor wants to do and will give people a choice going forward, because you cannot legally in an even numbered year put a competing proposal on the ballot. Is that it?
So there are three options you have available as a voter in order to do this, and it's a referendum, an initiative, or a charter. Each one has a specific timeline. The charter amendments are limited to odd year submissions
that's
by the people.
Basically amending the city constitution.
Yeah, that's amending the city constitution, and okay. That's what we attempted to do. Now, the city does have an option of proposing our charter amendment on behalf of the city. So the city council could do that, for example. And we've given them that opportunity.
Yeah.
The initiative, we're essentially out of time for, because there's certain provisions to it, and numbers of signatures that you have to gather. So the referendum is essentially the tool that's available to us. It will not repeal on its own. What the referendum does is it compels the city to put it forth to a vote on the ballot. People can still choose to vote for or against. It's still up to the people to do that. What we're hoping to do is to educate people as to why we feel we should vote it down.
By time.
Yes.
Because you think that the mayor acted in haste. You think the city council acted in haste. You think this has not been thought through. And that the more that people really think about the full ramifications of this, the more that they're likely to say, no, this $15 an hour policy is not what it's cracked up to be.
Right. It's also important to note that while it's been branded as a $15 an hour policy, we're really talking about increases that go up in excess of $17 an hour over a 10-year period of time.
Okay. Let me play an excerpt. This was Howard Schultz last night on Jon Stewart. He's there to talk about his college tuition aid program. But Jon Stewart turns the discussion to Seattle's minimum wage hike.
Let me talk to you about minimum wage as well, because in Seattle, where you're based, they are the first city to raise it to $15, right?
Yes.
So has that taken effect?
No, that has not taken effect.
When it does, will it rain cats and dogs? Will day be night? Will the earth spin in an opposite direction? Because from what I understand, if you pay people a wage that allows them to live like humans, Mephistopheles rises. That's what I've heard. I don't know if that's true.
Well, how do I answer that? You know, Seattle has approved $15 an hour. It's got to go to the voters. Right. I don't know if that's the right number or not. We'll right. follow the law. I think there'll be unintended consequences right. of small businesses not being able to support that.
Okay. Your comments on that?
My comments are that are, first of all, I like Jon Stewart. I do. I mm-hmm. think he's a funny guy.
Note the sarcasm of you know, oh, really, you want to pay these people a living wage so they can actually live right. like a human being?
Yeah. I think that it's important to make the distinction between a livable wage versus a minimum wage, first of all. Livable wage is a very squishy label. My livable wage is going to be a lot different than somebody else's livable wage. And what we're really talking about is the minimum mandated wage that I have to pay for labor. And
a starting wage.
Yeah, it's a starting wage. It's meant to be an introductory wage that you can get when you come in the front door. So my thoughts on that are the following. When we're talking about minimum wage or the idea of increasing this to 15 or 17 or whatever that is, we're also talking about all of those supportive services that are out there right now that an existing minimum wage person takes advantage of. Things like the health care subsidies that are out there, things like child care subsidies. There's a whole slew of social programs that support people who are more codependent upon that minimum wage. Those things are not adjusting. So there's going to be a significant shift in the value of a dollar, and there's also going to be a significant shift in a person's actual income when you shift their minimum wage like we're talking about here.
Okay.
This also doesn't even pull into the picture people like nonprofits. They can't raise prices. They have a certain amount of money coming in the front.
They're already pushing for a tax increase. Because if they say if you don't increase taxes to give us more money to cover wages, we'll have to cut services.
And that's the only option they have. I mean, it's a very sad story for them because fundamentally they have a certain amount of fixed inputs and they don't have any way to adjust that other than by raising taxes. So we're already starting to see people preparing for the inevitable increase and how the money is going to flow to try to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important for us to say that we're not against making people's lives better. But by assuming that the minimum wage is the way to take care of that, I think it's an overly simplified solution to a much bigger issue of rising costs, the cost of housing, things like that, that we haven't even really pushed into the discussion. And I think it's simplistic to assume that somebody who works at my bakery, who makes $10 an hour plus tips, isn't also satisfied where they're at for what their purpose in being in that job right now is. There is a reason why we have part-time jobs.
Let me ask this. How long does the average employee at your bakeries, how long have they worked there?
I mean, we purchased that bakery about 5 years ago in
okay.
January of 2010. We have one guy who's been with us since we essentially opened it. We also have people, I'd say they're around two years on average
mm-hmm.
there right now.
Yeah, and basically what they do is they come in, they work for you, they get job skills. Those job skills make them more employable at a higher wage, either at your company when you give them additional responsibilities or at another company where they choose to work and have experience and skills that they didn't have when they started.
Absolutely. We've got a guy that we hired in December of 2012 at $10 an hour to do a night driving position for us. And he now is the wholesale distribution and sales manager.
There we go.
For the entire company. And I absolutely was so excited when we got him because the only position I had available and what he was looking for was what we had at the time. But I knew that as a person and as a member of our business, I wanted him to succeed and become a bigger role.
Okay. I want to give you the last 30 seconds to tell people how they can get involved in the referendum campaign. Get more information, Angela.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, we have petitions circulating right now. Look for the Forward Seattle logo on those. You can go to forwardseattle.org.
Forwardseattle.org?
Yes, forwardseattle.org. Okay. We have a donation site set up there. You can also just...
Petition? Can I get a petition if I go to forwardseattle.org?
No, you can't. So when you're doing qualification signatures, it has to be physical pen on paper via an actual petition.
Okay, well, if people want to sign, tell me where they can go find someone who's signing. Do you have them at your bakery? Do they have them at businesses for people to sign?
We're going to be publishing all the businesses that are willing to publish it where they've got them, and we're distributing them to businesses today, tomorrow, and the next day. We also have the petition signature gatherers out there. So I'd say if you're trying to find one, look at your local, like QFC, Safeway, Trader Joe's, the typical places where you find those people.
I tell you what, yes, you find them gathering signatures in front of major retailers. However, if you want to send me a list of businesses that are posting, that have them on their counters for people to go in and sign, and you must be a Seattle resident.
Yes.
Then you let me know and we'll pass it along to people, okay?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. I wish you the best with this campaign. I wish you the best with your bakery. And like I said, if anyone tries to harass or intimidate you for participating, you let me know and we'll send you all sorts of customers. I mean, from as far away as Fort Lewis and Thurston County all the way up to Whatcom County. Believe me, they will show up if they think you're being picked on.
Thank you so much.
All right, Angela, thank you very much. It is coming up on 13 minutes to 8 o'clock in the morning. The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI.